Okay, good morning. Nothing says a beautiful Southern California morning like soil freezing. So this will be a little bit of a change in pace, I guess. Okay, so just a bit of the background for those of you not particularly interested in or familiar with soil freezing. When we look at soil freezing and the soil structural literature, in most cases, when you look at the literature, the one other thing that really hits upon you is the fact that there's no decision made here in terms of is the freezing process, does it have a positive effect or a negative effect on soil structure and on stability? And part of the reason for that, I feel, is because when we do that, we lump together the freezing and the thawing process. And people have gone into the field in the fall and they've looked at the situation. They've gone into the field in the spring, looked at the situation, and they said, okay, this is what happens. But of course, during the winter, an awful lot can happen between the fall and the winter in terms of the weather conditions. Okay, so for example, some of you may have seen this picture before, if you've seen me present before. If I were to ask you what you thought this picture represents, I would get quite a range of answers. But really what we have to do is, we have to look at what's happening in terms of the thawing process. And by thawing, I mean coming out of a frozen condition temperature-wise. Okay, so if you look at this picture, and think, okay, what are the conditions? And you may have your own preconceived ideas. At this point, the air temperature was approximately minus 20. Before the sun came up, obviously it was much colder. Very, very cold morning. Midwinter morning. So this soil is in effect frozen, is very frozen, and it probably will be frozen all day. And if we look down here, what some people will think of, well, this must be the thawed soil. No, it's very, very frozen, but it's also very desiccated. And the soil over here, which looks darker, which people think, well, that is the wet soil from the thawing. No, that's frozen too. That's just had a very high pore ice content. Okay, so when you look at this, you think, well, beautiful spring day and the melting snow and the water infiltrating, but it's anything but. Okay, so really what I'm considering is that the desiccation from the frozen state may play a critical role in the actual soil structure and stability that we see as the soil thaws. So I'm just trying to separate out the freezing and the thawing processes, really. So in this case, I was looking at two soils of different clay contents, and you see some of the other factors here. But the important thing that I'm considering in this case is an 11% clay sample and a 33% clay sample. And you see the other properties as well. They're very similar, actually taken from the same field, which is really quite an interesting situation in itself. And I looked at three water contents, 10%, 20%, 30% gravimetric, which really represents quite a dry state for these soils. And 30% is getting quite wet. Get above that and it's going to be very difficult to work with. And I have six different freezing treatments. And I'm going to run through this slide very quickly because I'm going to describe them in a bit more detail. Okay, so my control treatment, of course, this was the initial stability. This was before I did any freezing or thawing. So this is as they came out of the field and adjusted for water content. And here we are. Okay, oven dried, 105 degrees Celsius for 24 hours. A typical procedure you would do to find the water content of the soil. Even though I'm beginning oven dried after Dr. Campbell's talk, I'm beginning to wonder about whether I should call that oven dried or what it means, but anyway. A typical freeze-thaw treatment, minus 15 for 12 hours, plus 15 for 12 hours, so a 24-hour cycle. Minus 15 is essentially to give me the best chance at freezing everything within the soil, and plus 15, a convenient temperature to thaw it out, really. A freeze treatment where it's simply frozen for minus 15 at 24 hours. There's no thawing period. I took the frozen aggregates and I did stability testing on them. And no thawing whatsoever. And now the two treatments I was really interested in, a matter of comparison, a freeze-dry cold, that's what this represents, And this is the typical situation you get in a freeze-drying machine. In fact, I use the freeze-drying machine in the biology department. And what we do is you just dunk them in liquid nitrogen, and they are really frozen. It's kind of fun to play with, actually. And thawing to plus 25 degrees C over a 24-hour period under vacuum, so within the freeze-drying machine. And I've done this before, but the question really is how representative is this of the field? We don't really see these conditions in the field. So I have a freeze-dry, warm treatment where they're frozen covered at minus 15 for 12 hours, and then they're maintained at minus 15 for up to 22 days. And this is the type of situation you have. This is how the water content dries down. So you see the three different water contents in the two soils here. And they all start to converge down here. And what's happening is just in the freezer, we're having sublimation of ice into the atmosphere of the freezer and vent it off. So they all dry down in a very nice, even manner in that respect. And these are the water contents at the end of the 22 days when we decided, okay, time to test them. And the oven dried and the freeze dry cold. So the freeze dryer, and you can see they're very, very consistent, very low. A little bit wetter in the case of the higher clay content. But you'll see that for the freeze dry warm, down to about 4 or 5 in the case of the higher clay content, and about 2 to 3% in the case of the lower clay content. So not quite as dry. Stability measurement very quickly, 1 to 2 millimeter aggregates, wetted. Transferred to distilled water, and the energy input was shaking for 10 minutes and flushed onto sieves. Sieve contents were weighed at the end, corrected for a sand fraction. It's a very typical method. And dispersible clay, the solution we get at the end, the clay suspension, it's measured turbometrically. We put a water beam through, measure the transmittance of light. It gives us an idea how much clay is in suspension. Okay, now, as for the results, what are we actually seeing here? Now, remember, these are across all three water contents. I didn't separate that out because I wanted to give you the results based more on the clay content sample. But some very interesting results, the initial and the freeze-thaw, and the initial and the freeze-thaw for the two. So when we talk about, well, does freeze-thaw cause a breakdown of soil aggregates, a reduction of stability? This suggests, well, maybe not. The freeze-dry cold, more of an effect for the lower clay content and less so for the higher clay content. But what was particularly interesting, the freeze-dry warm, in other words, just simple sublimation, very, very comparable in both cases to oven drying. And the effect of freezing alone, a little bit different in this case. That relationship becomes a little bit clearer if you look at the separate water contents. So the points about this, freezing alone typically gave you higher wet aggregate stability over initial values, particularly for the lower clay content soils, but lower stability for the higher clay content soils. So we're seeing a very, very strong effect of clay content in the soil for this. But interestingly, freezing and thawing, no real changes in the stability of the aggregates. Freeze-drying, definite improvement, significant improvement in wet aggregate stability. And the freeze-dry warm, comparable to oven drying in terms of its intensity, regardless of the fact that this didn't dry it down as much as the other ones. So higher water content. And if we look at dispersible clay, we have the same general type of patterns here. Higher dispersible clay means it's less stable. And again, initial and freeze-thaw, very little difference between them. But the freeze-dried samples, quite an effect, but freeze-dry warm and oven dry. Again, very, very similar. So freezing alone, lower dispersible clay for the lower clay content, higher dispersible clay for the higher clay content, so a very similar effect. You see a very strong soil effect. Freezing and thawing, non-significant changes. So freezing and thawing really didn't have an effect in this. But the freeze drying, where we're not allowing the ice in the system to thaw out and re-wet the samples, very important. Decreasing in dispersible clay comparable to oven drying. So if we consider the effects, freezing alone seems to result in an improvement in aggregate stability. So we think of freezing as being a detrimental effect. And if you try to tease away the factors of freezing and thawing, separate them, you notice that the freezing tends to improve stability. And that the thawing component tends to mask that effect. When you do it, then things come back to the initial value. And stability is comparable to the initial value. Freeze-drying generally improves aggregate stability over initial and freeze-thaw values. And the freeze-dry warm treatment actually improved it the most, comparable to oven drying in terms of the levels that we achieved. Freeze-dry cold, not as constructive, but still a positive effect. Okay, so the one takeaway point, as people like to say, people who do presentations tell me, don't you need to have a takeaway point? That it's really the nature of thawing, including the water content of thawing, which really seems to be the control of the freezing and thawing process on aggregate stability. So we just can't seem to look at whether the soil freezes and say, yes, this will be the effect. It's really what happens during the thawing phase. And by that meaning, what happens when the temperature comes up, and particularly what is the water content when this is happening, whether the sample is still quite wet or whether it dried through sublimation. Okay, what was happening in that aspect? So not to say that freezing is freezing. There's much more to it than that. But really what we have to do is consider what's happening in the latter period as we come out of that, which is something I don't think has been really looked at to any great extent. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Daryl. We have questions for Daryl. Yes,
Tyson. Yes, sir.
Just connecting your takeaway here with the photo you started us off with.
Yes.
So then is the implication that the effects are going to be very heterogeneous when you have a situation like you showed in the photo? We have some very dry areas that are frozen, also some very wet areas.
Yes, I was once told that there's, within the entire universe we know, there's no more complicated system than soil. And that is really the case. That was taken in approximately January. What happens in February and March? What does that field actually look like come March or April when we say, okay, winter is finally over? So, yeah, in terms of heterogeneity, that really makes me question where I take samples when I do this, because I think between the ridge and the furrow, it's going to be an enormous difference. And we try to pool all these and say this is the effect of winter on stability. Yeah, it's extremely complicated, I think.
All right. Thanks, Daryl.
Okay, thank you.